Well, sometimes next year, if all goes well, we will have a lander on Mars doing some incredible things at its Arctic pole, Richard C. Hoagland. However, the odds are that it might not work. We haven't been that successful with these Mars missions, not counting the rovers, of course.
Well, we've been more successful of late because basically NASA spent more money and more attention. I mean, when Dan Golden came in with his, you know, faster, cheaper, better, you can have one of them or maybe two of them, but you can't have three of them. It's kind of like, you know, a contradiction in terms. So basically NASA tried to do, like they tried to do with the shuttle, with Congress playing a big role in, you know, the blame that needs to go around, and the White House, they tried to do the incredible on the cheap. And with this technology, this primitive technology, because space travel really is, as Michael Griffin has said many times, still incredibly primitive, and it costs a lot of money. I mean, look at the three people at Scale Composites the other day in Mojave in the private space area that gave their lives to try to push back the frontier. Absolute heroes, their families. I feel every night I think about them, I feel for their families, because basically we're trying to do this with, as Spock once said, stone knives and bearskins, and you don't often succeed, certainly not 100%. Now, in terms of the Phoenix mission, I frankly think that we're going to make it down to the surface because they spent so much time and effort and money on figuring out what went wrong back in 98, 99 when its progenitor, the Mars Polar Lander, didn't make it. And it's actually a safer way to land. They're not coming down on the airbags, you know, where you bounce and bounce and bounce, and the spacecraft is subjected to tremendous G-forces. So you have to build everything with super robust.
Yes.
Because it has to survive like 40 Gs.
And I've always wondered about that, too, that bouncing. Because, I mean, when it bounces, it bounces. If it came up, let's say, to the edge of a cliff, for example,
it would bounce right over it.
Or if it was as big as the Grand Canyon, that would be history for this thing.
Well,
it's not going to survive a plunge like that.
Well, you're not going to find a Grand Canyon where they land because they land in the dullest, flattest places they can find. What this mission is going to do is to back down after it slows down by parachutes. You know, it enters with a reentry shield, slows down from something like 12,000 miles an hour down to about 700. Then they pop the parachutes about 5 miles above the surface, and that lowers them down to a few hundred feet. Then they cut loose in the parachutes, and there are little rocket engines, three rocket engines that are controlled by computer and a nav system and gyroscopes and all that business, and it lowers it down backwards, and it does a nice little pirouette, so it lines up the solar panels east and west, and it will touch down. Now, we did this successfully twice back in 1976, George. So don't you think we can do it again?
you would think so.
2007?
But, Richard, if we were to go back, and I want to come back to Mars because that's the highlight of this hour, but if we were to go back to the moon tomorrow with a manned mission, could we build something right now and get us there? I don't think so.
Yes, we could. It's only money. Why do you think that Griffin has people crawling over the Apollo spacecraft in the museum?
If we had a Saturn rocket available,
mm-hmm.
could we build a LEM right now, put it in the Saturn, and off it goes, and we land on the moon in 2 weeks, let's say?
No.
There's no way.
No, because it needs longer to build these things and to test them. Remember, the art form is the testing. You test them under hot, you test them under cold, you test them under vacuum, you test them by shaking them to death. You know, there's an incredible amount of testing, and it was the testing that was scrimped on during the Mars Polar Lander fiasco back in 98-99.
That was the metric conversion problem?
No, that was the another spacecraft.
Was that the Europeans or was that us?
No, that was us.
That was us,
that
okay.
was us. That was Mars Climatological Explorer.
That was going to be a lander, right?
No, that was going into orbit.
It was going into orbit.
Yeah.
So we basically just lost that.
Back to back.
All right.
Back in that time frame. It's kind of dim history now, isn't it?
It is.
The point is that we don't lose them because Mars is hard. We lose them because we don't want to spend the proper amount of money.
What about that Soviet probe that took a picture of some kind of an object coming at it before it malfunctioned?
Yeah, that was the Phobos 2 spacecraft that actually got to Mars, went into orbit, spent a month taking all kinds of very interesting pictures, including some infrared pictures that look like buried cities. under the planet,
mm-hmm.
infrared, which we have somewhere on the Enterprise mission.
I remember seeing that a long time ago.
Yep. Anyway, the reason that that spacecraft failed is because as it approached rendezvous with the inner Martian moon called Phobos, the namesake of the mission, something hit it. And there was this kind of interesting cover story spread by the Soviets. They were the Soviets back then in 89, remember?
Yep.
And they even had Valentina Tereshkova, who was the first female Soviet astronaut, running around the world talking about strange things coming off Mars,
mm-hmm.
spacecraft of 25 miles long. Well, Tom Van Flandern, a name that you, I'm sure, recognize,
absolutely.
Our friend from
a good man.
The U.S. Naval Observatory and a frontier scientist, if there ever was one, did a very simple and elegant analysis of the last photos sent to Earth from the Phobos mission. And this mysterious object that everybody said, oh, it's a 25-mile-long spaceship, and it was shooting at the Russians and all that, that's all just this information. It's a cover. It's designed to prevent us, and Tom elegantly showed this, it's designed to prevent us from asking the real question, which was, and I'll get to that in a minute, why did he dismiss the spaceship idea? Because Phobos is a natural object. It's a big natural moon about 20, 25 miles across. Looks like a misshapen potato covered with craters.
It looks more like a big asteroid to me.
Well, asteroids are big misshapen things.
Yeah.
And it's covered with craters, and it's as black as anything you'll find in space. It's basically blacker than coal. Its reflectivity is like, 1% or something like that. Now, if there is a bright, shiny spaceship parked alongside Phobos, I mean, aluminum reflects, 70, 80% of the light?
At least.
As opposed to 1% for coal?
Yeah.
Tom proved photometrically that the object, whatever Phobos took a picture of, was as dark as Phobos. It was black as coal.
So what does that mean?
The likelihood then was that what was seen was a time exposure image, because the way the cameras on the Phobos spacecraft worked, they were like facsimile cameras. They were like a fax machine, where if you have someone sending you a picture in a fax machine and you take the paper and you pull it out faster than the machine will feed it.
You stretch it, basically.
It will stretch the picture. You'll distort the picture.
Yeah.
So the object that was touted as being an alien 25-mile-long spaceship, Tom figured out, was actually a natural object much, much smaller that had been distorted by artificial means when the picture was sent. Like maybe in the Russian ground station or in Moscow or it was a political act by the Russians. What were they trying to do? They were trying to prevent us from realizing that Phobos got clobbered by rocks around Phobos. Now, why would that be exciting or something you'd want to hide? Because in the steady-state model of things going on in the solar system, everything happened billions of years ago, and basically nothing has happened ever since, right?
That's what we're supposed to believe.
If you hit Phobos with something and create debris around it, that will quickly get sucked down to Mars. It will enter the Mars atmosphere, basically like little things thrown off the space station here in Earth orbit.
Yeah, okay.
And it will disappear. So the fact that Phobos got clobbered by something orbiting the moon Phobos indicates very intriguingly that all is not steady state in the Mars system, i.e., maybe there's somebody there.